Do we have any first-time visitors this morning with us? Perhaps not, but we are so glad everyone is with us this morning. There are announcements that are in the bulletin. There's one that was left off that I need to make sure I tell you, is that the Technology Committee will have a meeting today at 5 o'clock, the Technology Committee. Anyone else have any announcements?
It may be in there, but Mother's Day Out Committee will meet right after 10:15 worship service. That'll be like 11:30 or thereabouts. Have food. Mm-hmm. Rowena, do you want to mention next Saturday night?
Where will it be?
Here.
Okay.
Oh, in the gym. In the gym.
All right. Now we have... Do you have an announcement?
I'm not sure about the conference or not. I guess it's outreach to stay
home. Okay.
Christian Education, they're all in the bulletin, but Christian Education, well, part of them in the bulletin. Christian Education meets at 4... Missions, evangelism, and building the ground meets at 5.
And technology.
And technology.
Right. All right.
Session meeting at 6.
Any prayer requests or praise reports this morning?
Good
yes. Oh, it is so good to have him back. I missed him. So much.
Peggy, a form has been passed around for people who would like to be on the committee. This will be the first meeting of this year. So if you, and also the duties of those committees, the finish sheet, 5.5 by 8.5 is the gives the duties of the committee. And if you find your spot, you're welcome to volunteer. And we're not begging, we're giving opportunities.
All right. Okay. Daniel Jones. Okay. Anyone else? Let's pause for a moment of silence as we ask the Lord to come into our service and have the lighting of our candles. Jesus, our great high priest, be present with us as you were present with your disciples, and make yourself known to us in the breaking of bread. And we do welcome Jesus, the light of the world, into our service. Our call to worship is found in your bulletin. It is a paraphrase of Psalm 1 and 3. Blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers.
Let's all stand and turn in our hymnals to hymn 585. Brethren, we have met to worship.
Amazing that a word or a phrase can be stated, and in my mind I can go back 50 plus years and relive a past experience. There was a prayer often prayed in the church that I started out in, grew up in. Lord, may we have come for no other reason than to worship You. And I'd hear that and I'd say, did I really come for that reason? You know, I was a 12-year-old child or a 13-year-old teenager. This song calls us to worship. The preceding one called us to worship. Let us pray. Lord God, to worship You. Make it happen in our lives, in this experience, in Your house. In the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Please state your faith through the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into heaven. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end.
Come to the point in our service where we are confessing our sins. The scripture that we have this morning is just one of my favorites. It talks about if we claim we don't sin, we're a liar. But the difference between the Christian and the non-Christian is that when we do sin, we grieve. And we want to confess and we want to get back into that right fellowship with the Lord. And that's our opportunity this morning, is to get back in fellowship with Jesus. Our call to confession, if we claim we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar, and His word has no place in our lives. Our prayer of confession together, Eternal God, in every age You have raised up men and women to live and die in faith. We confess that we are indifferent to Your will. You call us to proclaim Your name, but we are silent. You call us to do what is just, but we remain idle. You call us to live faithfully, but we are afraid. In Your mercy, forgive us. Give us courage to follow in Your way, that joined with those from ages past who have served You with faith, hope, and love, we may inherit the kingdom You promised in Jesus Christ. Our assurance of forgiveness is found in Psalms. The Lord is near to all who call on Him, to all who call on Him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear Him. He hears their cries and saves them.
Let's turn in our hymnals now, please, to hymn 405. My faith is found a resting place. Verses 1 and 2.
That Jesus died and died.
We are learning. Some may feel that we've been learning all morning. Certainly some very good lyrics to those songs, even if we didn't know the tunes.
Don't laugh.
Words of Faith. 562. Play that through just one time, please. On vacation or you go somewhere and you forget about normal routines, and we have for 8 o'clock service a normal routine where Peggy and Kim and I do 3 solos per month, and in the Communion Sunday we don't have a solo. So today is my day. Greetings from South America, from Boyce and Beth. They are very thankful that you all have allowed me to lead groups down there to help them. And thinking this morning about what to say about my trip, I can only say that we dug holes and ditches and made rebar reinforcement steel for earthquake codes, and we did all this by hand, and we got the foundation poured on a building that's going to be about 30 by 100. And on the last day of work, we got in a circle with the Colombian workers, and we each put a foot on the foundation of this new building, and we had a prayer. It was indeed a good trip, and I appreciate the church's support in these efforts. And it is a Cumberland Presbyterian effort, so we appreciate that very much. The project is moving forward. How great thou art in South America is like Amazing Grace to us. It is their hymn of faith. And too often we forget about the words of this great song. So please just think about the words of this song as I sing it, not necessarily how I do it.
Thank you. When I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, and I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe display. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that God His Son, not sparing, sent Him to die, I scarce can take it in that on the cross my burden gladly bearing, He bled and died to take away my sin. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art, how great thou art.
We've been to church. We want to continue to worship the Lord in our offering. And it's from 1 Corinthians 13:13. And now there remain three. I didn't read that right. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. but the greatest of these is love. Will our ushers come forward?
Showed us how to love. You told us so much about love, and now we have an opportunity to respond to your love and show our love through the giving of our tithes and offerings to your kingdom's work. And we thank you for this opportunity in Christ's name.
Hymn 406, My Hope is in the Lord. Let's sing the first verse only.
Our scripture lesson today comes from Jeremiah 17, verses 5 through 10. This is what the Lord says, "Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who depends on flesh for his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. He will be like a bush in the wastelands. He will not see prosperity when it comes. He will dwell in the arched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. He will be like a tree planted by the water that sets out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, searches the heart and examine the mind, to reward a man according to his conduct, according to what his deeds deserve. The word of God for the people of God.
Good morning. We did have a bunch of new songs to us. Somebody pointed out one day, not sure where it was or where I heard it, and they had counted the times that the Bible teaches us to sing a new song. I guess they had been singing the same ones over and over, and the Lord said, sing a new song, and so we've done it. And I want to express appreciation to Sam. He's always sung them. He will lead us in them. He's never said, to my memory, we won't even try that one. I don't know how to get us to learn more songs. Or my really attempt this morning was to have songs that supported the message or propped up the message. Maybe it needs some prop, some support, or some propping up or encourage. Did I make a mistake in the Lord's Prayer too? Did I skip a portion of it? Okay. I don't know why. I've got a lot on my mind, I guess. I don't know why, but I did. Some of you have a little piece of paper in your hand. The teenagers have these. Did you get them out somewhere? Really for the teenagers, for the children. We don't have many of the small children, is it? Well, we do have a couple of elementary-age children in this service. So did you fellows get one? They got one, okay. That's really who this printed for, just a little handout for them to maybe Crayola on or pencil drawing or something. And basically this illustrates the message today, the scripture passage, the life, the barren life without Christ, or without the barren life for ones we trust in man, and the fruitful life. That's a tree with a lot of fruit on it, a lot of leaves on it at least. And some trees, the biggest benefit we get from them are the leaves that gives us shade. Even the oak tree, though the oak tree does produce some acorns too. So that was the purpose of that. I have had some revelations or some calls or some, I guess maybe some encouragements. And I felt the need to do this recently. A couple of weeks ago I put in the outline the purpose of that message. Or the purpose as I saw that message, and also, I don't think I did it last week, but this week I put in there. So what do I hope? I was taught this 40 plus years ago, and never did do it, but then the last two or three weeks, all of that has come flooding into my life, and before I start a sermon, what do you want to do with this sermon? What do you want the people to do? So it will not just be so many words that we say. And one of the things that I hope would happen, or the purpose of preaching this message, is that you would be encouraged to put faith in God rather than in man or riches or armies. And that's not to say that we don't have our faith in God. But especially for the young people, they need to know this. But us older people, we need to be reminded. Or I feel that we do. And I get to be the one that speaks, so that's kind of where we're coming from. I chose a text, and I've only done this maybe, how many times? Maybe 50 times in my preaching. And one verse that I memorized years and years and years ago, and was from Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And I don't remember much scripture. Some people have remembered the whole New Testament. Now, when they get to the different versions, they're a little confused there, but they still have memorized much of the New Testament, at least. or all of the New Testament, and it can quote on and on. But I can't. But I can quote a few verses, and one of them is trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. The Lord being the important word there, with all of your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. Somewhere I learned that shall was a stronger word than will or could. It shall. It will happen. And then the New International Version says that He will make your path straight. And that's kind of the underlying thought of this sermon, that we trust in the Lord, not even in our own selves. Well, the way I see it, well, forget that. Unless the way you see it is the way the Lord sees it and the Lord says it in His Word. It doesn't matter how we see it in the greater scheme of things, it's really what the Lord says, is it not? He's the Creator, He's the Sustainer, and He's the one that will bring it all to an end. So we need to trust in the Lord and lean not on our own understanding. Many people, you've seen them, I've seen them, you've dealt with them. Many people start a relationship with the church. They even start a relationship with Christ or with God, or at least investigate. And soon they fall by the wayside. Is there anybody present this morning who hasn't seen someone do this? They'll get going to church and they'll run real hard, work real diligently, eagerly for a short period of time, and then they'll fall away. And you could not get them to darken the door of the church. As I stand before you, running through my mind, even in this community, some people I've seen that happen to. Now, what's the reason? We could blame the church that we ran them off. That's probably not true. It may be in some cases, but it's probably not the case in most of the cases. The parable of the sower. And I've given you the passages where these come from, at least the book and the chapter. You find the parable of the sower in Matthew 13. I believe there's two parables of the sowers in that one. One where the good seed and the tare seed grew together. But there's two parables of the sower. The one where four kinds of ground that the seed falls on. The parable of the sower, Matthew 13, Mark 4, Luke 8. And I discovered this week, a discovery I made this week, that John doesn't have any parables in it. John didn't put any parables, a lot of miracles. Why did it take me this long to discover that? I was looking for the parable of the sower in John, and it wasn't there, and I started flipping, no parables there. Miracles in John, more miracles. But the synoptic gospels, the ones that are synonymous, one that are similar, maybe a better word, all three have the parable of the sower. Three examples of people who start a relationship with God, or at least get fed the Word of God, and it doesn't produce a thing. One, the ground is hard. It's on the pathway, and it gets crushed as people walk along the pathway. The other is rocky ground. It takes hold. It takes hold, but it soon is burned up by the hot sun because there's not enough moisture there. And you can see this around here in your lawns every summer. There's spots in my backyard, when it gets about August, they turn brown. Why do they turn brown? I lived in South Arkansas and had St. Augustine grass, and spots would turn brown there, but it wasn't for the rocks under them. It was some kind of parasite or a fungus in the grass. You'd have to come and spray it with soap suds or something, mix up some soap and spray on it and kill the washy lawn. But they'd have big spots. But here, when it turns brown, most cases it's not because of a fungus or something on the grass. It's because the dirt is so shallow, it gets so dry, and the grass is burned up by the heat of the day. So it ceases to be. A person who started in the Word and got really excited about it, it's so green, the grass is so green in the summer, in the spring, and then it fizzles out. You've seen people like that in church. And then the next one is planted among thorns, and the thorns choke it out. The thorns choke it out, and they get interested in other things in life. Now, my belief, and I still remember one of these things that's come back this morning or this week, is my mother used to say, I don't care what the preacher believes, what does the Bible say? But my understanding of this Bible passage, maybe that would satisfy her. What does the Bible say about it? My understanding of this passage in this situation is that the falling away is often the result of people trusting in man rather than God. People fail to put their faith in God. They put it in a preacher. They put it in a Sunday school teacher. They put it in some guy that may have slipped in the church that nobody knows, and he may not even be a Christian, but they're using him for an example in church. There's a danger of doing that, and there's an old story, and I don't think I have time to tell it this morning. Ask me afterward if you're interested in an old story about people observing a person in the church that they had patterned their life after. And then put their faith maybe in the army, another country, but somebody or something other than God. And when the going gets tough, they falter. They fail. We who are believers, we who are Christians, we who are God's own people, a holy nation, a royal priesthood, the Apostle Peter calls us, we have this great responsibility and this grave responsibility, this serious responsibility to set a good example. But, friends, put your faith in God rather than the best example that you can find. Because even the best example that you can find is likely to disappoint you. Because people are subject to stumbling. How many of you have stumbled in your Christian walk? It may be just a quick temper that you fly back at somebody and take vengeance on somebody. But that's a stumble, is it not? Vengeance is the Lord's. He tells us that. But we come back with a quick retort and put them in their place. It don't work, folks. It alienates them. You can't be a witness by doing that. I know. I've experienced it. I've stumbled. And that's probably the minor way I will stumble. You know my stumbles. I don't have to confess them publicly before you. You've seen them. You who are trusting in other Christians as your pattern and as your example must know that other Christians stumble. They falter. They make mistakes. They're walking across the footlog over the creek, and kids have been playing on that footlog all day, and that footlog is wet and muddy and slippery, and life is a walk across that footlog, and they slide. They slip. And sometimes we even fall in the creek. Sometimes we catch ourselves on the way down, or the Lord catches us on the way down to the creek. You have walked across a foot log into the creek, over the creek, have you not? Kids, if you haven't done it, you need to. Most of us adults have, especially if we were raised in the country and there was a little creek around. We must know, though, that other Christians are not perfect. God is perfect. Jesus is perfect. But other Christians are not. A man will make a mistake. Let me repeat it. A man and a woman will make a mistake. Somewhere, sometime, if you watch us long enough, we're going to make a mistake. So don't put your total faith in us. We're trying to be the best we can as an example for the rest of us. And that it works. It's kind of interaction. I'm trying to be a good example for Bill, and Bill's trying to be a good example for me, etc., etc. But we're going to falter. And when Bill makes a mistake, I don't give up. And when I make a mistake, Bill can't give up. That's what you get for sitting closest, Bill. I appreciate you letting me use you for an example. We lived next door to each other how many years? Enough. He had to finally just had to move off. Couldn't take it any longer. I guess he saw the preacher making so many mistakes. But I won't tell about yours. Okay. We make some mistake. Not wanting to, but it can happen any time under the right circumstances. Under the right circumstances. And it called us to the call to confession. Peggy commented on it being one of her favorite verses. The call to confession tells us. If we say that we're without sin, we even make God a liar, because God has said we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So it's going to happen. So don't put your total faith in man, or if your fellow man makes a mistake, don't give up on God. Now, Jeremiah 17, 5 through 10 speaks to the situation. I think one printing that I had said this, the Lord of the Lord, but it should be, this is the Word of the Lord. Your insert says the Lord of the Lord. We got an L instead of a W. Computers do that. Typewriters do that. Word processors do that. Don't know who did it, but it happened. This is the Word of the Lord. Look at verse 5. This is what the Lord says. So it's not what Larry says. My mom would be happy with this, wouldn't she? It's what the Lord says. I'm not saying she always did what the Lord said. I'm not judging her on that and claiming that she was super saintly, but that was one of her statements about preaching one time. This is the Word of the Lord. Now, what does the Lord say? What does the Lord say? He says, it's futile to trust in man. It's futile to trust in man. Verse 6. He will be like a bush in a wasteland. He will not see prosperity when it comes. Prosperity may come, but it just passes on by you. He will not see prosperity when it comes. He will dwell in the, there should be a P in front of that arch, the parched places of the desert. He will dwell in the parched places of the desert. A fruitless tree. You didn't get one of these. That's a tree with no leaves on it. There's certainly no fruit on it. We cannot trust in man for salvation. I got an acquaintance friend, and about once a week he'll say, did you save any souls Sunday? In my regular answer, I don't have never saved a soul. I cannot save people from their sins. Jesus saves us. Jesus saves. He paid the price on Calvary. He paid the penalty for our sin, and we trust in Him and His sacrificial work, or His sacrifice of Himself on the cross. That's where salvation comes from. So, salvation comes from God through Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ. Acts 4:12, I believe it is. Salvation is found in no one else. This is Peter preaching. Salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven under heaven, given to men by which we must be saved. Might want to make a note of that. Salvation comes through Jesus and Jesus alone. And we certainly, some people try to save themselves. They don't trust in another person to save them. They trust in themselves. And they're trying to be good, and they're trying to be good, and they're trying to be good enough to earn their way to heaven, and they make a mistake. Somebody causes them or invites them to falter, and they do something wrong in the heat of the moment or in the moment of passion, and they falter. And then they, depending on themselves for themselves, their salvation, they say, I've lost it all. I grew up depending on myself for my salvation. And I'd go back to the altar because I'd falter. And I'd go back to the altar because I would falter or stumble. And finally, somebody showed me that salvation is not in my own works or of my own strength or power, but it's through trusting in Jesus Christ. It's Jesus who saves us. Jesus. Say it if you will. Jesus. He died on the cross for us. We cannot trust in men even for an example. And I use King David, and I use Moses, and I use Elijah. David, a man after God's own heart. A man after God's own heart. Wanted to be close to God, set apart by the prophet of God, Nathan, for Samuel, for the work of the Lord, for the kingship, after Saul had faltered and had this experience with a beautiful woman that he saw bathing. And he couldn't control himself. Or he didn't control himself. He didn't control himself. And then Moses. Moses was leading the people from Egypt to Israel. They wandered around for 40 years. And Moses, the people started grumbling. They started wanting water. And they started demanding water. And he got mad. And God said, go speak to the rock and water will come out. And Moses went up there and hit the rock and called those people rebels. He's lost his cool. And if you read that passage, I think it's from Numbers chapter 20. Numbers chapter 20. He struck the rock for water, and God said, Moses, you're a good servant, but you've lost it. Not his total salvation, just lost it for a moment. And said, you're not going to get to go into the promised land. I'll let you look over and see it. But Joshua was going to take over before you. He was 120 years old anyway. I mean, he was worn out. Okay. And then Elijah, he got... Jezebel and Ahab were chasing after him, and they were giving him a tough time, and he had already had the Mount Carmel experience, and he goes out, and in 1 Kings 19 and 1 and 4, he just wants to die. He said, Lord, I'm tired of being a prophet. So even, I want to die. Even Elijah, the representatives of the prophet at the Transfiguration, even he made this mistake. Oh. We can't depend on fellow man for long-term guidance. We can, in our day, there's two names that we can make, we can name, and we all know what I'm talking about. Baker and Swaggart. Great teachers, but they stumbled. They've made a comeback. How futile it is to trust man. Hear it. Verse 6. He will be like a bush in a wasteland. He will not see prosperity when it comes. He will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land. Salt, S-A-L-T, land where no one lives. There are many warnings in the Old Testament against alliances with other nations as a way to save themselves or to save their nation. And this is warnings to the Israelites. The Israelites looked to Egypt for help when they were being threatened by the Babylonians. But God kept warning them not to put their faith in the Egyptians. Even when Egypt saved them back under Jacob and Joseph, in a few years they had become the slaves of the Egyptians. They got saved from starvation, but then they become slaves. In Isaiah chapter 30, Egypt's strength would be Israel's shame, the Bible says. And Isaiah 30, Isaiah 31, and Deuteronomy 28. And then in the book of Hosea, there's some warnings against trusting in other nations to save us rather than God. One of them is Asher, Hosea 14:3. Asher will not save us. We will not ride upon horses, neither will we say any more that the work of our hands, you are our God. That would be idols, worshiping idols. For in thee the fatherless findeth mercy, only in God. That was part of a prayer. The wise thing to do is to trust in God. The results of trusting in God are blessings. The results of trusting in God, blessings upon our life. Read verse 7. But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in Him. How blessed are we? The man who trusts in the Lord, or the woman, or the teenager, or the child who trusts in the Lord, will be like a tree. Will be like a tree. How many of you have played the part of a tree in a class play? I can't remember. But we sit there and our branches stick out, and aren't we so cute? And we might even be a talking tree. Well, we'll be like a real tree, a live tree. A live tree. Well-watered tree. I thought of another song and never did go look it up to get the words and just didn't get around to it. About a tree, I shall not be moved. Do you know that one, Sam? I'm looking back at Sam. And if the musicians will come forward, we'll be ready to sing about a tree. About faith. We're not going to say, I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. Who shall not be moved? Those who put their faith in God will be like a tree planted by the waters. I shall not be moved. The well-watered tree, faith in God, our fears are dispelled. Our worries are dispelled. And then, with our fears gone and our worries gone and our faith in God, we can provide shade for those around us. Or we can be helpful to those around us. We can give, you know, some of the greatest things. One of the greatest things that a shade tree does is protect us from the hot sun. And we can be a spiritual shade to those who are being beaten down by the life that comes at them. And then, trusting in the Lord, we can produce fruit. Kingdom fruit. Fruit for the kingdom of God. Matthew Henry speaks of one of these fruits as being holiness or a holy life. And then he goes on to say we can do some good works for the kingdom of God. Where is your faith? Where is your faith? In yourself? In somebody else? Or in God and His Son, Jesus Christ? As it needs to be. In God. God the Father. God the Son. Jesus Christ. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, follow Him and He shall direct your path, or acknowledge Him. Zechariah 4:6, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Deuteronomy 31, Joshua was about to take over from Moses. The Lord Himself goes before you. They were about to enter into the promised land. And it says, the Lord Himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Where is your faith? Maybe you've come to the point in your life that you need to publicly proclaim your faith in Jesus Christ. That invitation is extended this morning as we stand and sing, and I think it's 406 and 1 and 4. 406, 1 and 4.
Psalm 4, 1 and 4.
We've got some.